Coming up on show 656, Tesla's portable superchargers, Audi's upgrade to the e-tron, and VW crediting the credits. Those stories and more. We are talking about mid-range supercharging Model 3 increases and how the car of the year in Denmark went to a surprise winner. Those stories and much more on your edition for Friday, 29th of November. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, end of the week edition, although probably coming out on a Saturday in your feed. I apologise. I'm sorry that the frequency of the podcast, even though we've still been doing it daily, has been a little bit out of whack. And like I say, just a few days, maybe a couple of weeks, I'm going to be taking off between now and Christmas before we get back into the old routine. But a couple of changes to the routine at the moment in home life. And whenever that happens, look forward to filling you in when I can tell you more details. Thank you, as always, to MyEV.com for helping make this show. MyEV is indeed the world's first marketplace. It's a cracking idea, by the way, for coming up with a website purely about buying and selling and learning about cars with plug sockets on. And you know what? It's only in the USA. So if you have that resource, make sure you're using it. Occasionally, even though I'm not a Tesla owner, I do like to read the TMC forums. And I came across this story from the TMC user Remonster. And this person said, we rolled up at the San Luis Obispo. Is that how I would say it? I see people online call it SLO. But of course, not being in California, I hope that I haven't massively just butchered a town or a location name. San Luis Obispo supercharger station, which is critical. A critical supercharging station for 101 travellers going up and down the Central Coast. I was expecting it to be an absolute zoo the day before Thanksgiving, says this forum user. But to my surprise, they had a mobile supercharging station putting out 120 plus kilowatts on 8 chargers. Now, this person says 8 urban chargers. If you know, the Tesla urban chargers, much, much slower than superchargers. They had a couple of Tesla engineers on site to help monitor. One of them was kind enough to stand in the rain and be plugging in and unplugging the cars as well. They said this was the first time testing it, and they rolled it in all the way from Reno to augment this particular supercharging station. They expected it to be used as well for the recent power shutoffs from PG&E and in general what they would call emergency situations. They also said it had a 12-hour charge time. This is basically a giant mega pack battery on the back of a truck. Yeah, admittedly with a diesel tractor trailer on the front of it as well. So maybe one day these things will be turning up with Tesla semi-trucks. But for now, let's not complain about the diesel truck that towed it there, because literally on the back of a flatbed lorry is a massive bank of Tesla superchargers to take the strain over particularly busy times. And yes, Thanksgiving can be carnage at some supercharging stations. Up to 80 cars can be charged. And on the day that this TMC user had gone to it, they'd charged between 40 and 50 cars. The rush was certainly slowing down when I showed up, they say. But all the stalls, including the stationary ones, in other words, the permanent supercharging ones, were full for 30 minutes. The longest queue was 3 cars. And from a user on TMC who goes under the name of Bjorn J., says, I used this to charge on Wednesday night driving from the Bay Area to LA. It started charging at 120 kilowatts, so not a urban charger. I also chatted with Tesla Energy while there, and you don't need to be on the truck bed to be unhooking the cable. Just lift by the cable, if that makes sense. So literally a portable Tesla supercharging station turning up on the back of a lorry and charging some cars over Thanksgiving, and I imagine we'll be going back to the mothership, to Tesla HQ, for any kind of diagnosis or to see how it went and look at the data, and then it'll be rolled out again, literally rolled out at the next busy time, maybe pre-Christmas. I don't know. It's like, is Christmas as big a deal as Thanksgiving? If you're in the US, let me know. Of course, we don't have Thanksgiving here in the UK, so our holidays don't begin yet for us. Christmas is the really big getaway time, but do you kind of split your holidays? So if you do a big Thanksgiving getaway, does that mean that you're not doing as many road trips over Christmas, or is it two equally big holiday periods? Fill me in. And on Twitter, there is a Twitter account called Cactus Capital, and they say that in Shanghai this week, they went to a Tesla store to check out the Made in China Model 3. They were told each of the 7 stores in Shanghai are getting around 40 new orders every single day. So that's per store, and there's 7 of them, 40 new Model 3 orders. That exceeds the capacity of Gigafactory 3 in Shanghai. An order placed today will be delivered in late January, and they put a close look of fit and finish of a white Model 3 that was, of course, one of the Chinese-made Model 3s. As of now, all made-in-China Model 3s are using imported Panasonic cells, but soon will switch to Chinese battery suppliers. OK, moving on. The Association of Danish Motor Journalists has officially named the Tesla Model 3 the car of the year in Denmark 2020. There's a month to go till 2020, and it's officially the best car of the next 13 months. Well, the Model 3 has been tested and talked about a lot in the respected legacy conservative magazine Motor from the Danish Motorist Association, FDM. But they've been pretty critical and sceptical of Tesla over the years, says Clean Technica. The Model 3 is a natural winner of Car of the Year in Denmark 2020, they say in the magazine. It is an electric car that has revolutionised the car world in many ways because Tesla has managed to make a fun and well-equipped electric car with long range, good driving characteristics and high safety, as we've come to expect of Tesla, say the magazine, upon awarding them the award of 2020 Car of the Year. Earlier this year, I was fortunate enough to be invited along to the Grosvenor Hotel. That's a very fancy hotel in London. Lots of big award ceremonies, about a week away from the Autosport Awards, actually at the same location. Very swanky, may I say. And I was there earlier this year for a car awards ceremony where... Oh, now, was it the Kia e-Niro or the Hyundai Kona? I think it was the Kia e-Niro won the 2019 Car of the Year. And then pretty much within minutes of it winning the award, Kia had to come out and go, yeah, if you want one, it's going to take a year before we can deliver one. So it won Car of the Year for 2019. And if you ordered one then, you'll have to wait until 2020 before the Koreans can make one for you. That was a bit of a PR fail. But obviously amazing that an electric car won their Car of the Year. It just would have been nice if you could buy the Car of the Year, you know, in that year. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk Audi. I love the e-tron. I know that it has its limitations. Efficiency, range, considering a 95 kilowatt hour battery. But of all the EVs I've ever been in, being inside an e-tron, oh, it's my favourite place to be. All right, I'll put my hands up. I'm a sucker for really nice German engineering, and I think the inside of the e-tron is just gorgeous. Like, okay, there's lots of things that aren't great. The drivetrain, not very efficient, kind of shown up in many ways by those that have been doing it for, I don't know, the last 10 years. See Tesla for efficiency lessons. Audi just unveiled the new e-tron Sportback with a more efficient, aerodynamically efficient shape. But even though that's more efficient than the regular e-tron SUV, e-tron 55, now the German automaker has introduced upgrades to the good old regular e-tron, the SUV, giving it more range, giving it more efficiency, says Electrek. Today, Audi confirmed with new upgrades, an extra 25 kilometres or 15 miles of WLTP range on both the e-tron 50 and the e-tron 55. Well, the automaker explains the changes to improved efficiency. Audi says thanks to a new type of wheel brake. The developers have achieved further reductions in what's known as residual brake torque. This refers to losses that occur as a result of the proximity of the brake calipers to the brake discs, what you may call rotors. Well, the drive system has become more efficient. In normal driving, the motor on the rear axle provides propulsion as standard now. Thanks to a number of optimizations, the front electric motor is almost entirely disengaged and disconnected from the electricity supply. And that should get the e-tron 55 on the EPA test cycle, which is more realistic, from 204 miles up to 215 or so-ish, sort of, miles. Look, 215 is not great, but how many times do you need to do a journey more than 215 miles? Audi also announced a few other important improvements to the e-tron as well. Highly efficient thermal management, which comprises four separate circuits, has now been revised and regulates the temperature of the high-voltage components more efficiently, and improved coasting recuperation as ways to get more mileage. Look, if it's all right, I'd like to run through those improvements that they're touting with you, and if it's possible, maybe you and I could have just a quick think through these. So the first one is a change to the wheel brake. The developers, they say, have achieved further reductions in residual brake torque. Now, this is not new technology. So a famous brake maker, someone like Brembo, have indeed been working on things like frictionless brakes. So when the brakes aren't applied, ensuring that the brake pads move away from the brake discs, the calipers actually release properly. Because even though in many cars you're not pushing down the brake, even if you're just coasting and cruising, some brake pads operate at very close proximity to the brake discs, and there is a very small amount of drag, even though you're not applying the brakes, even in normal driving conditions. Now, of course, if you're burning fossil fuels in order to move forwards, a tiny fraction of drag, if you like, of friction from the brakes doesn't really matter. Those frictionless brakes, by the way, that technology is still under patent, and so a company like Tesla has to go away and license the use. I'm not sure Tesla uses Brembos, but whoever supplies Tesla's brakes, they do have to license that technology for the freewheeling, so the calipers that move apart more so than normal brakes. But the point I'm making, that's a hardware improvement, and many would say, actually, Audi should have been licensing that brake technology to get the most efficient possible braking and freewheeling from the very launch of the car. But that is not something that can be applied over the air update, you know, unless Audi come round to your house in the middle of the night and put some new brakes on. That means buying a new car. The next thing is the drive system is more efficient. They disengage the front motor, and when you're in normal driving conditions under low use, it's the rear motor that will propel you, so two-wheel drive. And again, that's something that is pretty standard on like a Tesla these days, but they've been learning they've had lots of time to learn. So maybe Audi and VW have gone, look, okay, we've learned a little bit more about how to do this and how to reprogram the car so we can turn off the front motor and that's more efficient. Well, that can be an over-the-air update, but that is something that's a software thing, right? Disengaging the front motor. The other thing they announce is highly efficient thermal management. Well, that could mean either. That could be we've worked out a better way to do the software of thermal management, or the new e-trons that we're making have better thermal management. This article doesn't make clear. The press release from Audi doesn't make clear. It's not clear from this whole story which of these ones current owners will get. In order to get access to these features, how many people need to actually buy a whole new car? But on the whole, if I just back away from the detail, that's good news. The e-tron is getting better, getting more efficient. Many detractors of the car say, yeah, it needs to get more efficient. Let's talk about tax credits next. And Tesla actually sent out an email. Many would call it a warning email. And a couple of my listeners and your fellow listeners to this podcast even forwarded it on to me. So I've actually seen this email in person. This week, the federal tax credit has been the subject of an email from Tesla over the Thanksgiving holidays. Buying an EV will expire, will cost you a little more money if you're buying a Tesla in the next few weeks. According to Forbes, for the second half of 2019, the tax credits for Teslas were just $1,875. But that $1,875 discount, well, it's not a discount, it's a tax credit. I need to be careful what words I use here. Will go away entirely at the end of December. So any Tesla that gets ordered this year but delivered from midnight on January the 1st, I'm afraid it doesn't qualify. GM's EVs are still in the $1,875 zone and will remain there until the end of March 2020. Some states offer incentives for EV buyers, and you can find details for Teslas online. There is the text of the email that I had a look through, which says in less than 5 weeks, the federal tax credit will be expiring and purchases of a new Model S, X or 3 will no longer be eligible for the incentive. I'll just jump in here, by the way. I'm a little bit disappointed when even Tesla don't give out their model range in correct name order. You know what I'm talking about. It should be S3 and X. Anyway, back to the email. Order online in less than 3 minutes and experience the ease, convenience and safety of all-electric design. Place your order and take delivery by 2359 on December 31st and you'll be eligible for the federal tax credit. Orders placed near the end of the year are not guaranteed to be delivered by December 31st. Any purchase of a Model S or X will also come with free supercharging, says this email that I'm looking at. Let's also... Oh, I've got tax credits to talk about, and I've got Tesla Model 3s. Let's do this charging story first. We've got confirmation that Tesla's new over-the-air updates have just unlocked higher supercharging speeds, not only for the Model 3 Standard Range Plus, but also the mid-range. Now, they didn't sell the mid-range for very long. That was the entry-level model for a while, but that then disappeared. But for both of those, SR Plus and the MR as well, you now get 170 kilowatt charge speeds. And if you're thinking, didn't Martin talk about this story on January the 5th? You would be right. This was indeed unlocked by a software update that was 2019.36.something. But then Tesla removed it. I don't know why, but they did. Anyway, good news is, it seems to be back for good for everybody. After the update, both models can now utilise the V2 superchargers. That's, in other words, pretty much all the ones out there. And you will be able to charge at up to 150 kilowatts. Some sites are limited to 120, but 150 kilowatts on your Standard Range Plus or mid-range, the update would be worth up to a quarter of an hour. Less time charging if you go from 20 to 80%. Well, the full kind of charge rate that you can achieve of 170 kilowatts, well, for that you'll need to find yourself a 250 kilowatt V3 supercharger, and it can be utilised by the top-of-the-range, long-range Model 3 versions to get that full 250 speed, only for a short time as well, but heck, it's on offer, and why wouldn't you use it? All right, let's finish off the news today with this story about tax credits. Volkswagen of America CEO Scott Keogh has been laying out a theory of the German automakers' pricing plans for their upcoming EVs. In the US, of course, that doesn't mean the ID3, but it does mean the ID4, what's currently known as the Cross. Saying that the company believes its huge global scale, the enormity of VW, means it can absorb the loss of the federal tax credits to EV buyers to keep the net consumer prices very stable, unlike Teslas, which have kind of fluctuated a little bit. Reports Automotive News Europe, speaking on the sidelines of the LA Auto Show, he reiterated that the net pricing after tax credits for what will be the brand's first MEB-based car, the full ID in the USA, is going to be a crossover, and it's coming next year. Think Tesla Model Y, think Mustang Mach-E, and it's going to be called the ID4. It's going to be the sweet spot of the segment, so it's going to cost $40,000, but you do get your $7,500 US tax credit off next year's tax bill if you are eligible, so that'll be mid-$30,000 range. Scott Keogh estimated the Volkswagen brand dealers would enjoy the benefit of the full tax credit for 2 years before Volkswagen, like Audi and Porsche sales, will be exhausting the 200,000 limit. Those early tax credits, he argued, give the automaker breathing room on pricing early in the life cycle. And it's one of the criticisms that some people have of the US tax credit system, that those who took the plunge early, those who put the risk and their neck on the line, Tesla and GM, are the ones whose credits are now expiring. The latecomers to the party, when a market for EVs has already been established, are getting the full benefit when they took none of the risk, is what some people say. What are your thoughts? Again, I'm a million miles away. Well, maybe not a million, but I'm much removed from the US system of incentives. So let me know your thoughts and I can always pass them on. Question of the week this week is this. The controversial and somewhat botched Cybertruck launch is in fact the most Googled search term in the company's history. So it's gone far and wide. But do you think the whole window-smashing, crazy-styling, F-150-pulling demonstration was a good way to launch an EV or not? Did it ultimately hinder or help the mainstream adoption to EVs? Let me know your thoughts. My email address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. You can leave a comment on Facebook and the YouTubings. Oh, there are many, many patrons of the show. 249 right now, but more names to announce in the next couple of days as people have signed up pre-Christmas. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. I'll give you all the details soon. If you want to get any of the previous shows, there are 655 of those in the archive, and the new ones come at you first and free and automatically if you are a subscriber in your podcast app or platform. Come and say hi in the meantime on socials. Remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.